Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, if you have a Bible nearby, please open it to the Gospel of Luke, the New Testament book of Luke. It's the second book of the New Testament, or rather third, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And I'll invite you to open to chapter 9. I'll read chapter 9, verse 51 to the end of the chapter. That's verse 62. As today we launch a new sermon series called With Jesus on the Jerusalem Road. With Jesus on the Jerusalem Road. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Please follow along as I read out loud, for this is God's Word. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and he rebuked them. And they went to another village. And as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." This is the word of our Lord. Let's pause briefly for prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, we ask that indeed your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, O Lord, that all of the joyous benefits offered in Jesus Christ would be our possession and experience by faith today. Any obstacles, any roadblocks, any hindrances to that glorious walk with Christ, by grace may you remove them from our lives and grant us courage to go over, around, or through them by the grace of God. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing our prayers. Draw us nearer to Christ this hour. Through the means of grace, we ask in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen. Well, today is Friendship Sunday. We've been waiting for this day many weeks. Our lovely summer is over. I hate to bear the bad news. I see the looks in your eyes. I see the daggers. But a new season is upon us, and that means it's time to walk down a new road. And so today we launch a new sermon series on the Gospel of Luke describing that new road. It is called With Jesus on the Jerusalem Road. We call it a St. Luke exclusive, if you hadn't noticed in our promotional cards. We call it a St. Luke exclusive because in this sermon series we will focus on passages exclusive to the Gospel of Luke. You won't find these stories or parables or teachings or miracles in the other Gospels of Matthew or Mark or even the Gospel of John. They are exclusive to Luke. And you know how much reporters love to get exclusive interviews, don't you? It's a real win when a reporter can get an exclusive with someone, showing that person that you thought you knew so well in a new light, in a brand new fresh light, with fresh questions that had not been posed before. All of the gospel writers actually do that, but here Luke is no different. Luke wants you and I and his God-loving friend, whose name is Theophilus, to whom he wrote this gospel, to walk by faith with Jesus on the Jerusalem road. Now, we call it also with Jesus on the Jerusalem road because Jerusalem is the clear destiny of Jesus in this exclusive section of the Gospel of Luke from chapter 9 to chapter 18. His work up north in the land of Galilee, his hometown, his home region, his adopted town of Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, that ministry was now beginning to fade. And he now sets his face south toward the city of Jerusalem. And for 10 chapters, you'll see throughout this gospel of Luke, he reminds us again and again and again that Jesus, for the final time, is heading to Jerusalem. And what is waiting for him in Jerusalem? What is drawing him like a magnet to the city of Jerusalem? What raises him up every morning with commitment to get to the city of Jerusalem? Well, look at verse 51. You'll see what the answer is. Do you see it? Verse 51 tells us, heaven is waiting for Jesus in Jerusalem. Glory is waiting for Jesus in Jerusalem, that through his life and death and resurrection and ascension, the glory clouds of heaven are waiting for him on that Mount of Olives near Jerusalem. We see that in verse 51 where it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. Heaven is a glorious place. About heaven, Jesus said few words, but when he did, they were humdingers. About heaven, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. About heaven, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. About heaven, he said, if it were not so, I would have told you so. About heaven, he said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. In Matthew's gospel about heaven, Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy master. About heaven, Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And so in the eyes of Jesus, heaven is a glorious place. And the road you and I travel inevitably with Jesus inevitably leads to glory. And I assure you that through this sermon series this fall, you can experience glory. Glory in this life, glory in the life to come as you walk with Jesus down the Jerusalem road. So where are the crowds? Why aren't they all walking with you and I? Why isn't the building filled wall to wall like a Hudsonville Eagle football game or a basketball game at Unity Christian? Why not? Because there's something else waiting for Jesus in Jerusalem. I'll tell you what's waiting for Jesus in Jerusalem. What else? There is sorrow and despair that are waiting for Jesus in Jerusalem. For Jesus would enter that city destined for glory, but he would be greeted, betrayed by a kiss, denied by his best friend, scattered from his disciples. He would enter that city for glory only to be arrested by guards and abused by soldiers, falsely charged by the Sanhedrin. There in Jerusalem, he would suffer under Pontius Pilate and be rejected by the people. Stripped and beaten, he would be nailed to a tree, dead and buried. Calamity awaited him in Jerusalem. And so, dear church, on the road with Jesus to Jerusalem is, to be warned, a mixed journey. It is always a mixed journey. It is a journey both of trial and triumph, of both grief and glory, of both crown and cross. And that will clearly explain why so many people respond to Jesus in so many different ways. Some receive Jesus with great comfort and great joy, and others cannot wait to shake the dust of Jesus off their sandals. My question this morning is, which one are you? Which one are you? Could I ask you to pull out your connection card real quick? I want to show you something written on it. This is our new connection card, and we always have a new card and a new memory verse for every sermon series we do here at Cedar. And we're going to actually look at the memory verse, and we'll read it out loud just for fun. And I want you to be thinking about why so many people respond to Jesus differently in light of this memory verse. You'll find it under Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus. Let's say it out loud together. Together? And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? There's a reason in that verse why so many people respond differently to Jesus. Now, in today's passage, if you're taking notes, you can open your bulletin, pull out your pens. There is a section in your bulletin to take some notes. I'm going to give you four reasons people respond to Jesus differently. And in today's passage, you're going to see the first reason people refuse to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road is for reasons of culture. You can write that down. Reasons of culture. Some refused to walk with Jesus in today's story for reasons of culture. Verse 51, second half, says this. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Now, the Samaritans were cousins to the Jews. They were distant cousins, but related. And these kind of second and third cousins from one another hated each other. Isn't it a shame when sometimes people treat complete strangers better than they treat their own relatives? It happens. And that was the case in today's story. There was a family feud between the Samaritans and the Jews because these mixed breed Samaritans were cousins with a different religion. And that created tension. They had different traditions. They had different worship services. They met in a different city, and they worshiped inside of a different building. You see, the Samaritans, unlike our thicker Bibles, they only had a Bible with five books. The first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. They believed that those books alone were the Word of God, and they believed, to add insult to injury, that the rest of the books of the Bible were placed there by their no-good cousins, who wanted all the power to be in their city of Jerusalem. And so the Samaritans, instead of going down to Jerusalem to worship, they went and built and set up a temple, not in Jerusalem, but on Mount Gerizim. And so all is going well until the minute they hear this man Jesus is going to the city of Jerusalem. Suddenly their hearts are filled with bad thoughts and much prejudice. You know, that happens today. Sometimes people refuse to walk with Jesus because of the culture of the people with whom Jesus walks. Because Jesus, if you haven't learned yet, Jesus walks with all sorts of people. The Bible says when he came, the message went from just Jews alone who had been the bearers of the gospel, of the word of God. It went to all the nations. It went to people who were red, brown, yellow, black, and white, slave, or free, rich or poor. It went to every tribe, tongue, language, and nation as the book of Acts explodes, and even to this day. And so, listen closely. I can assure you that in your life, you are going to discover and happen upon some people you don't like who are walking with Jesus. This happened in the gospel all the time. People were incredulous. They couldn't get through to Jesus because they saw the people around Jesus as a stumbling block. And so they would say something like, "What good can come from Nazareth?" They would say things like, This is a working class carpenter's son." They would say things like, "His followers are unlearned and unschooled men. Why would we listen to Jesus?" Some people do not like the culture of the people with whom Jesus walks. And I wonder if this describes you. Maybe you grew up in a home that just didn't really like church people, so you're not giving Jesus a chance. Or maybe in your early days growing up, a pastor rubbed you the wrong way, and so you've stopped giving Jesus a chance. Maybe you don't trust religious people anymore. You don't like their values, their attitudes, their politics, their way of life, their jobs, their education. And so you have decided, I will not give Jesus a chance. There are many cultured reasons why people refuse to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road. Now, as our story continues, we're going to learn something else. Sadly, that those friends of Jesus walking with Jesus on the Jerusalem road, sadly, they don't take rejection so well. I know I don't like rejection. I sometimes behave in a way as a follower of Christ that later shames me. And I realize I didn't rise up to the high calling Christ has for my life. It's hard when people reject you or mock your church or mock your faith in Jesus. It's hard. And we see that here in verse 54. Look with me. It says, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them?" Now, that's a little zealous. Wow. No wonder we can see the Gospels tell us that James and John were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. It shows up, our personalities show up under stress. And they were under stress. But nonetheless, their faith was admirable. I mean, they really had strong faith. Think about it. They were ready to set people straight who were insulting their Lord in public. They were ready. Not only that, they actually believed that if they prayed strong enough, like the Old Testament prophet Elijah did, that God would send down fire from heaven just like he did back in the book of 2 Kings chapter 1 and afterwards. And that, dear friend, is bold faith. That'd be an interesting prayer request to get on a Sunday night here at Cedar, wouldn't it? Wow. That kind of faith is more bold than yours and mine. I'm actually almost curious, sort of wishing that the Lord might have let them have a chance to see if they could do it or not. Lack of faith was not their problem. It was their lack of love. It was their lack of charity. You see that in verse 55. Look at verse 55. It says this, "But Jesus turned and he rebuked them, and then they went to another village." Let us never forget that truth without love, listen closely, truth without love is only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, you can be right and you can be wrong at the exact same time. Do you know what I mean? The commentator J.C. Ryle writes these words: "It is possible to have much zeal for Christ and yet to exhibit it in the most unholy and unchristian of ways." I know it stings. I know it stings when you may be abused or your values or your faith may be insulted. But violence and wrath and rage and anger ought never be our response. That conduct changes no one's mind. Or as the old saying goes, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. I'm so glad, though, that Jesus is still teaching us, followers of Christ. He is still teaching us how to better respond to rejection. Because if you follow the story of James and John in the rest of the New Testament, you will see that the Bible tells us later that John became the apostle of love. He is the poster apostle, the poster child of love for God in Christ to one another in the Bible. It became his grand theme about which John wrote. Love, 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 love. The apostle John. And then we see in the second half of Luke's book, which is called the book of Acts, he writes one more book to Theophilus. In that book of Acts, Luke reports a fascinating story. He reports that in chapter 8, verse 25, John takes Peter and they begin preaching the gospel after the day of Pentecost. They preach in Jerusalem and then in Judea. And then in chapter 8, verse 25, it says, "To many villages of the Samaritans." I love it. It's almost like John is trying to undo his temper tantrum. I wonder if he even went back to the very village that he threatened to pray down fire upon and say, "Hey guys, you remember me? I've got good news for you." You see, dear church, once the Holy Spirit matures and fills followers of Christ, the only fire you wish to fall on those who don't welcome Jesus are the fires of the Holy Spirit and the fires of regeneration. Brings us to a second point, the second reason why people refuse to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road. The first reason was for reasons of culture. The second reason we see now are for reasons of comfort. Reasons of comfort. It is not comfortable to walk with Jesus. Look at verse 57. It says, "As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.'" Now this is an interesting follower. This man had every intention of following Jesus. He said, "I will go anywhere, do anything for you, Jesus." This man was all in. Just like when I was a kid at church camp. I remember we kids learning a song and really meaning it when we sang the words, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus?" I mean, the song went and it went and it went. It was a comforting song. It was a comforting melody. But little did we who were singing it realize how hard such a commitment would actually be. Like this man who said, "I will follow you anywhere," did we really realize how hard it would be and how weak we actually are? Jesus does not promise a life of ease. And so to make that clear to the man, his message is, look, I love you and I have a difficult plan for your life. And then Jesus starts talking about something unusual. He starts talking about homelessness. To compare one walking with him on the Jerusalem road, he utilizes homelessness. I can't think of a more stressful circumstance. Well, I can, but there's definitely homelessness ranks on the top of that list. So stressful is homelessness that Cedar Church, we've partnered with the Holland Rescue Mission in Holland, Michigan, as one of our partner ministries, because breaking apart of a family and of relatives through homelessness is very stressful. And Jesus here tells the man, listen, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And what he means by that is the moment Jesus chose the incarnation to take to himself human flesh, he left the worship of rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor so that we through his... And when he left his home and became homelessness, the first place he entered was also homelessness. There was no room for him in the inn. And then when he goes back to his hometown and grows up and begins his ministry, there is no room for him in Nazareth, for a prophet is not honored and was not honored in his hometown. And now he's beginning the final leg of his journey, and just two verses back, he is being rejected again. No bed is waiting for him in the Samaritan village. And the point is clear. Jesus gave up his home with nowhere to live, to lay his head, for our salvation. And so we must give up such comforts when we walk with our Savior on the Jerusalem road. Now, we may not be physically homeless. Maybe you live in the same community or neighborhood that you grew up in all of your life, and that's wonderful if the Lord grants that to you. But I want to assure you, dear church, that if you follow Jesus on the Jerusalem road, many times in your life, you are going to have a feeling of homelessness. The Bible teaches that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that we are in opposition with the world. You just many times will feel like you do not fit in, sometimes with your own family. And so you will find yourself out of step with culture. You may find yourself with nowhere to emotionally lay your head and feel like you fit in. And some people, when Jesus calls us to this, can't hack it. They don't like the pressure of constantly just not fitting in. I just want to fit in. And people walk up to me and say, hey, how's your day? And I say, fine. And then we go on. I just want to fit in. When moral issues come up that I know Jesus is against, I don't want to have to be that one, you know, that guy who says, you know, everybody, this is not the will of Jesus. Some people refuse to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road because of reasons of comfort. Now, there's a third reason people refuse. We see that in our next verse. There's a third reason people refuse to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road. The first was reason of culture. The second, reason of comfort. The third one, reasons of family. Sometimes the people you love more than anyone in the world, and sometimes the people who love you more than anyone in the world, can become an obstacle to walking with Jesus on the Jerusalem road. Verse 59. Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, I love my dad. My dad is 82 years old. He lives in the hills of north central West Virginia. I love my dad. My dad has only been good to me. I know lots of people can't say that about their dads, and I respect that. And we try to find all the good we can in the fathers that God has given us, but my dad's special. few times we thought we were going to lose them. In fact, one time we almost lost Dad, and I was right here in church when I got the phone call in the middle of Sunday school, and no one knew where I went. I hopped in the car, ran home, packed my bag, and 30 minutes I was on a 10-hour journey to West Virginia to sit by the bed of my dad at the hospital. I love my dad. I can't picture life without Dad a bit, and I'm trying to prepare even now, for he's in those twilight years of life. But Dad would even agree with me, because he knows Jesus too, that to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road, Christ comes before family. Christ always comes before family. That's emotionally pretty hard. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible teaches we all have family duties. We must, fifth commandment, one of the ten, honor our father and our mother. The Bible teaches we must provide for our family, 1 Timothy chapter 5. If we do not provide for our relatives, our family, we are worse than infidels. We should honor our parents with a proper burial. But you see, Bible scholars are fairly united on the opinion that this guy's father, in today's story, his father was not actually dead yet. What the man was saying is that I would like to care for my dad in his declining years, and once that job is done, then Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you. And he put family before Jesus. Now, this is the struggle with middle-class America. Many times, our family can become our everything. Every moment of every day, every involvement, every commitment is often measured by the question, how will this benefit my family? Pastor Kent Hughes calls this family narcissism. He writes, the four walls of our home become a temple, and only within those four walls are any sacrifices made. But to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road, Jesus demands loyalty to God first. He demands that fathers ought not live their dreams through their sons, that mothers ought not place their identity in the success of their children, and that families not be demanding, possessive, and jealous. Jesus warned, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And that is a pill that is too hard for many to swallow. Jesus tells this man to draw him out. Let the spiritually dead bury your dad. In other words, let those who do not have an obligation to the kingdom, who are not filled with the Spirit, who don't know how to preach or advance the gospel, let them take care of those needs. You follow me. But some refuse because of reasons of family. Final reason people refuse to walk with Jesus on the Jerusalem road. The first one, reasons of culture. The second one, reasons of comfort. The third one, reasons of family. The fourth and final one, reasons of closure. Final verse, 61 and then 62. Verse 61 says, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and then say goodbye to my family. Now, I don't know about you, but I love closure. I like formally greeting people. Hello, Pastor Steve. What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? Nice to meet you. I love that. I could do that forever. And at the end, when we're gone, I like to say, goodbye. It was nice to see you. Have a great week. May the grace of Jesus be with you. Amen. Closure. This man wanted to go home to say goodbye to mom and dad, and it's not unreasonable. The prophet Elisha, in the Old Testament, was called by God to leave his family farm and follow the prophet Elijah. And Elijah gives him permission to do this. He gives him permission to kiss his mom and dad goodbye. So he goes home and he burns his plow, he butchers his ox, they have a feast, and then he's gone. And perhaps Jesus is thinking of that story of Elisha and the burning of that plow because he suspects that this man is not as committed as Elisha. And he starts thinking about plows and he says, you know, verse 62, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This man wants closure with his past more than he wants a future with God. This man is a daydreamer, always looking back to the good old days. He is a longer, envisioning that the past was the best, and he's living there, and he won't look forward to the glory of Jerusalem, of Jesus and himself. Anyone who keeps looking back in the rearview mirror will not do well on the Jerusalem road. Well, so I close with a question. What happened to these three men? What happened to these three men? I wonder, did they ever follow Jesus on the Jerusalem road? Did the first man become homeless? Did the second man let others bury his father and go preach and walk with Jesus? Did the third man, like the disciples, you know, leave his boats and his nets and his father there sitting inside and immediately follow Jesus? It would be so nice to know, but Luke does not tell us. He doesn't tell us. And maybe because Luke's main concern in the writing of this story is to invite you to write the end of your own story. Don't worry about those three. What about you? Will you follow Jesus? Will you make sacrifices like Jesus? Will you leave the comfort of home like Jesus left comfort of heaven? Will you go anywhere to walk with Jesus? Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem where there was both glory and grief. Will you now set your face toward the glory and grief with Jesus? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the glory that awaits all united in Christ. He has shown us the glory of the Father, and the glory that awaits in this life and in the life to come. Thank you for the journey. Give us grace to handle the joys, the highs, as well as the grief and sorrow and the lows. We pray that all of us would set aside any hindrance to walking on that road of glory with Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May it have its effect within us, we ask in Jesus' name. And let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.